just kind of a self-examination. Just a little thing. I think I'm always. Let me just preach it, man. Ezekiel chapter 14. I was going to read in verse number 1. You'll notice that the Word of God says here, "Then came certain of the elders of Israel unto me, and sat before me. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, these men have set up their idols in their heart, and put the stumbling block of their iniquity before their face. Should I be inquired of at all by them? Therefore speak unto me, and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Every man of the house of Israel that setteth up his idols in his heart, and putteth the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face, and cometh to the prophet, I, the Lord, will answer him that cometh according to the multitude of his idols, that I may take the house of Israel in their own heart, because they are all estranged from me through their idols. Therefore say unto the house of Israel, Thus saith the Lord God, Repent, and turn yourselves from your idols, and turn away your faces from all your abominations. For every one of the house of Israel, or the stranger that sojourneth in Israel, will separate himself from me, and setteth up his idol in his heart, and putteth the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face, and cometh to a prophet to inquire of him concerning me, I, the Lord, will answer him by myself. And I will set my face against that man, and will make him a sign and a proverb, and I will cut him off from the midst of my people, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. And if the prophet be deceived when he hath spoken a thing, I, the Lord, have deceived that prophet, and I will stretch out my hand upon him, and will destroy him from the midst of my people. And they shall bear the punishment of their iniquity. The punishment of the prophet shall be even as the punishment of him that seeketh unto him, that the house of Israel may go no more astray from me, neither be polluted any more with all their transgressions, but that they may be my people, and I may be their God, saith the Lord God." Let's read verse 11 again. "That the house of Israel may go no more astray from me, neither be polluted any more with all their transgressions, but that they may be my people, and I may be their God, saith the Lord God." Father, we thank you for the Word of God. Thy will be done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for saying. I'm going to call it very simple today, called Idols of the Heart. The Idols of the Heart. Just a little simple truth. I hope will speak volumes to you and spoke volumes to me. Now, verse number 1, if you take notes, first thing I would like to call your attention to is the entrance of the idols. The entrance of the idols. Now, we read the verses, but in verse 3, it tells us specifically how these idols have come into the hearts of the people of Israel. The word of the Lord came unto Ezekiel, and it says, "Son of man, these men have set up their idols in their heart." The idols came in, the people just set them there. So often in different times of my life, and I find myself when I'm behind on something, struggling, and many times it's just because of idols that I've set up, and my priorities are not exactly the way they should be, and I find myself struggling to get different things accomplished for the Lord, and struggling with simple aspects of faithfulness. Because what God, He speaks to the people here, and He said, now, these people on purpose have set these idols up, and they're a stumbling block, and He said, should I be inquired at all by them? See, they had these idols, all these things that were in their life ahead of God, and then they were coming to the prophet to ask counsel of God, because that's how it was done in those days. And we see that today, and I think in a lot of different ways. I've seen my own life having idols in my life, and then go to God in prayer wanting wisdom for something, a direction for something. One of the things I've learned through fasting is that many times I didn't need to fast. I just needed to obey the Lord. fasting, crying out to God, looking for answers. And the answer was, we sing the song, "Kneel at the cross, give your idols up." And it's like the Spirit of God said, "Why are you fasting? Why are you asking me for anything? You just need to let go of some idols. It's some things you set up that have a position over me, and you know If you approach me, you know that those things are there. You know, it's and God is always, we read the verse 11 again. Now, the main idea of everything that God's trying to accomplish, you know what God wants to take place in all your hearts today? He wants you to be His people. He wants to be your God. Now, we know God, and He wants to be your God by your choice. Now, He's the Lord. He rules over everything anyway. But He wants to be your God. He wants to be my God. You know, it's amazing when you read, the more you read the Old Testament, you realize so much of the admonitions are for God's people that knew Him, that had seen the miracles, had seen the power, but yet continually they were doing things that caused them to be separated from God. Of course, an idol, by definition, is anything that we set our affections on. And so He's talking to His people here, and He said, you know what? Should they really even be approaching me? Should they be inquiring of me because they have set these idols in their life? You know, and I began, as I meditated on this passage this week, I was examining my own life and thinking about, do I have earthly priorities that I really have set above the Lord? Do I have personal things in my life that are really above God? And like we sing a song sometimes, I surrender all. We sing a song about the Lord here. Lord mean master or ruler. But if you have idols, if I have idols, is God really the Lord of my life? Am I allowing God to be the Lord of my life? And many times I think we go to maybe our personal devotion time, we go to our prayer time, we come to a church service, and God's asking you and me the same question. Should I really be inquired of in this current condition that I am? Or should the idol be removed first? You know, and these idols approach, we've seen they simply set them up. And you know, one of the key ways we always get affection is by the direction we look. You know, God set the precedent in Genesis with Lot, when he was being delivered from Sodom and Gomorrah. He said, don't look behind thee. You know, and one of the things when a person gets saved by the grace of God, what generally destroys them is when they take time to look behind them and look back to the world, look back to where they used to be. Now, number two, we see the hindrance of the idols. What's the main problem with the idols? Well, let's see how God sees it when we have these idols. In verse 5, it says, He's encouraged them. Let's read verse 4 and 5. Therefore speak unto them, and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, every man of the house of Israel that setteth up his idol in his heart, and putteth the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face, and cometh to the prophet, I, the Lord, will answer him that cometh according to the multitude of his idols. Now, I imagine that sometimes it talks about maybe the judgment of God, but you know, if I have a multitude of idols, number one, I have something that can't deliver me. I have something that can't help me. And, you know, when I have idols in my life and I'm praying and pleading, do you know that I get the same help that my idols are actually giving me? Which is nothing. I can't get anywhere. You know, maybe some temporary comfort, temporary satisfaction, whatever it may be, but the idols don't really seem to deliver me. And, you know, there's so many things we have set up in our society. You know, our society knows how to pursue us. Our society knows how to get our attention. Our society knows how to get our idols up. I'm on this thing, like I said, about how we look toward things. You know, I'm on this thing called Deal Find. You know, so they send you emails about different deals out there. And absolutely nothing wrong with the site if you got money. You know, and it's not, you get some special deals, special prices. But I was thinking the other day, you know, right now I only have money to take care of necessities. So I don't need to look at a deal that's going to cause me to covet something I can't afford to have, you know. Because all of a sudden, then I'll feel bad that I can't get something. You know, some of my worst decisions we ever make was we look at something and say, "You know, that's such an unbelievable deal. If I only had enough money to get that, then I get it." You know. But now notice what it says here. Now we get into the hindrance, the main problem why God is concerned about this. He says, Thus saith the Lord God, every man of the house of Israel that setteth up his idol in his heart, and putteth the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face, and cometh to the prophet, I, the Lord, will answer him that cometh according to the multitude of his idols, that I may take the house of Israel in their own heart. Notice this, because they are all estranged from me through their idols. Now the word estranged is a word that means withdrawn. See, God is, he's looking at his people, and see, you know, they're just withdrawn from me. They're just not really close to me like they should be. It also means to be withheld or alienated. That means when you alienate somebody, you kind of exclude them. You don't really include them really in everything, you know. Like, I can remember being a young person going to public school. Certain times, people alienated people. People have their certain cliques. And still, people do it as adults too. They have a certain number of people that can get in this circle, and but some people can't get in that circle. So they alienate people, you know. And I was always an alienator. I was alienator. I always busted those. I got it because I guess growing up hating racism, I hated to see anybody excluded. So I was always friends with everybody, even the people that there weren't the quote unquote the popular people, you know. Now it also means to keep at a distance. You know, think about it. In your life, my life, you know, there's certain people you only let get so close to you. But God said this is what happened with him and his people. You know, all over the world today, God only has so much. Now, we sing a song, I love the song, Lord. We have to sing a lot of the Lord, I lift your name on high. Maybe never sang it here, but I've sang the song. But, Lord, I lift your name on high. That means master, but you know, we only let God be so much of that Lord. We let him, so we keep at a distance. Lord, you can have control of this, and you can have control of this, but not this, you know. And see, the problem is that when you open your Bible, and you go to prayer, and God really needs control of everything, and you've already got God at a distance, God is asking the same question, should I be inquired of all by them? Should you really be asking me for wisdom if you've already determined that this is how much of you that I can have? See, if you really got saved, God got everything, you know. But then what happens is you set these idols up. You know, I was weeping for both. I really had to repent even before I could teach this today. I'm just, you know, being honest. I mean, I was thinking back, man, when I got saved, and just the boldness to witness, and just so many different things. I mean, if God said it, man, that was just the end of it, man. It's different things. I think of so many miracles, prayed for, job situation, finances, and man, it didn't matter what was going on in the world. You know, as long as God said it, I was for it. You know, but you know, I didn't. You know, I found out one of my idols is security. I like being secure. I like comfort. And I even like people liking me sometimes, you know. And when you get set those idols up, all of a sudden the Word of God says do this, and the Holy Spirit of God says do this. But you know what? It seems like such a distant, faraway truth. And then you cry out to God, and I'm crying out to God, Lord, help me, give me direction, give me discernment. And He said, I already told you what to do. And what happened is because of the idols that have been set up. And all of a sudden, the simple will of God is such a difficult thing. And prayer, I was praying about this. I was wondering, at least these people are still approaching God. But I wonder, is that why Christians or professing Christians don't really believe that much in prayer? Because it's so fruitless, because of the multitude of idols? And I just have to be honest, as I examine my life and in light of New Testament Christianity, I'm not going to preach anybody else with me for a moment. There's something wrong with me. When I look at the boldness, I look at the zeal, and I've got the excitement about God. I mean, and I'm excited about everything, but just to be able to go forward and do those things, and this was encouraging because God is continually working on me so that, you know, because when I die, so the Bible says that we should abound in the work of the Lord. When I die, my work for God should be at the highest point that it ever could possibly be. Let me ask you a question if you're a Christian today. since you've been saved. Stop right here today. Is your Christian life at the highest it's been since you've been saved? I mean your faith in God, the works you do for God. Why is that? Because it's the idols. Because you know what? We're either serving God or we're serving something else. And you know what happens? You know, and God, again, you know, God wants to be God of everything. You know, when God is God, and He is, that means He's everything. He's it. He's the answer for absolutely every situation in our life. And I tell you, you know, it's so simple. If you just, again, if you just read Galatians, the fruits of the Holy Spirit, what else do you need in life beyond those fruits? Love? Joy? Meekness? Hey, when you got joy, even meekness is okay. You know, goodness? Temperance? Self-control? When you got joy, when you got peace? Hey, self-control is good too. Peace? Faith? All those things, you know. I mean, what else could you... If you have joy, what else do you really want? If you have peace and you're content, there's not something you're looking for to give you that peace. You got it, you know. And God wants, He said, I'm telling you this, that they may be my people. You know what? God wants it to be obvious who we belong to. You know, when I played sports, they had this ridiculous idea that we should all wear the same color and wear the same exact uniform. Only thing was different, and we were allowed some personal distinction by having our own individual number. But it was to be clear whose team we belong to. And God wants to be clear in your life and my life who we belong to. And by the way, I'm not talking about clothing. I'm talking about just it being clear that we're His. Amen. By everything. But whatever it may be. You know, let the Holy Spirit fill in the blanks of your life and my life. But he's brokenhearted here. And He said, they're strange from me. They keep me at a distance. You ever have somebody that you love and you can tell, or someone's affection that you want to have, and you can tell that they're only letting you get so close? I remember first thing when and Susan turned me down when I was trying to meet her that night. I thought, man, that's not the way I really wanted this to work out. I really was hoping that it'd get a little closer to her, you know. And thank God it all worked out in the long run. But I can remember different times. And I still remember the first fight we had and when we were in North Carolina. I remember wanting everything to be resolved. But she kept me at a distance. And I remember right now how that hurt, even thinking about that. How much more than the God of heaven that gave everything for me? Give everything for me. Give everything for you. Yeah, we've been having fights. I know y'all can't tell. And He gave everything. And He just wants to pull me in closer so He can bless me. And really show me Himself and the magnitude of His love. And then I keep Him at a distance. And it's just because of idols. Just because of idols. And it says here... It also means to cease to be familiar with. I remember Bill Hardy, the church I got saved in, he used to say often, familiarity breeds contempt. When you just get used to something, you know. And that's why, you know, that's what's good. Sometimes I struggle, you know, because, you know, everybody's used to having church Sunday morning, you know. But you're just used to it. I mean, honestly, just examine your own heart. You know, I was preaching this morning, and I was thinking to myself, am I the only person here that believes, and I just say this, but I'm going to say it to you, am I the only person here that believes that this is a life-changing opportunity right now? And it's because familiar. I mean, if you got saved, you remember that when you understood from the Scriptures that God was talking to you?
And even after you got saved, you remember the time when you look forward, open the Bible, and man, God's in here. This is good. You know? And times you got alone and prayed, maybe you fasted, and you just got somewhere alone with God. Maybe you just went somewhere for a long walk with God, and you just prayed and cried out to God, and you just knew by the Holy Spirit of God that He was right there with you. But then you just kind of got familiar with Christianity. But then you cease to be familiar with God. Because see, that's what Satan is always trying to do. Get familiar with doing. Just so we just get used to everything. We get used to each other and we stop appreciating each other, you know. One of the things the Lord dealt with about, I realized, you know what? And I can tell the truth when I'm preaching, can I? Alright, okay. I just want to make sure. I realized even this preacher's conference, I wasn't thankful enough for each one of you. I got familiar. Just got used to everybody, you know. And just instead of really being thankful with each and every one of you as individuals, even the ones here that are lost, I'm thankful for you. And I praise God for each and every one of you. And but how much worse is it when we cease to be familiar with God? See, we ought to be, but see, because the difference with God is, when we're familiar with Him, you can't be next to God and something just not happen to you. So we can get familiar with each other, get used to each other, and the reason we lose that appreciation for each other is again because of the lack of familiarity with God. Because when we're familiar with God, God always keeps before us how we should love our neighbor as ourself. Love our neighbor as ourself. I mean, we'll always, when we're familiar with God, we'll never just be used to get used to each other. But God, He points it out here, and He said, you know, these men, they're just not close to me like they used to be. And you know what He's saying? He said, I miss them. But where's the fruits that He promised to every single person, you know? And number three, God's command regarding idols. God's command regarding idols. Verse 6, He says, therefore say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, repent and turn yourselves from your idols and turn away your faces from all your abominations. Now so much is just so simple. One thing I was mentioning, I'll make a reference to, and fasting, sometimes crying out to God like you need answers, like you need to know something from God. And the answer was just repent. The most powerful word in anybody's life in this room is repentance. If you're lost, you need to repent. You need to turn from yourself to Jesus Christ. If you're a Christian, you need to live a life of continued repentance. Because guess what? If you open up the Word of God and read the Word of God, as you get closer to God, you're going to find out that you're not like Him. And you're going to constantly be turning, and there's going to come some times because the judgment falls, that you fall, and you have to repent. And the most liberating, the most powerful thing you can ever do is repent. If you're saved, you know it to be true. Because your life changed the day that you repented, the day you turned to Christ, the day you turned to God. And you were excited about that, and you felt free from sin, you felt free from yourself, and you knew there was eternal hope, like my brother said this morning, there's so much more than everything that's here. But you know what? When we set the idols up, we live like the only thing that is here. And that's why God has kept at a distance. I never, my pastor, I thank God for Pastor Norwood. There's so many things he said, but I always remember he told me one time, he said, I always find in the Bible that wherever Jesus was, something always happened. And that was one of the most simple convicting statements, but also a hopeful statement. Because so many times in my life, it looks like nothing's happening. And I'm not talking about anything physically see. But you know what? But when the idols are gone, and I'm familiar with God, that something's always happening. I mean, if nowhere else, it's right here. It's going on right here. You know, like that old, you ask me how I know He lives? He lives within my heart. I mean, something's going on. Something right there. And the hope, the command He gives, he says, turn from yourself. In verse 6, He says, therefore say unto the house of Israel, thus say the Lord God, repent and turn yourself from your idols. And then He says, turn away your faces from all your abominations. And that's, again, getting back to what we're saying, don't look. You know, because where you look makes a difference. We preached that some time ago. And I was thinking about how the Bible said things that are seen are temporal. And that's why when we have idols, we have such a fluctuating and not a lasting hope. Because we're looking at something we can see. And we change like the weather. You know, I was thinking about today, you know, the greatest sacrifices in life are made for things that people can't see. I was thinking, me and the boys, we were playing basketball last night. Anybody ever play any sporting event or a game? Anybody ever play any sporting event or a game? Anybody ever win at least once? What did victory look like? What did it look like? You couldn't see it. But depending on what your event was, I think it's a great effort and labors you go through, something you can't even see. What does acceptance look like? What does acceptance look like? I think of the great lengths that we'll go through sometimes to be accepted. Or some do just the opposite. Some put themselves in a situation so they don't have to face the prospect of not being accepted. But these things that we do to labor and sacrifice for something we can't even see. And yet we have promise and yet we shy away from serving a God that we cannot see. But if we have a real salvation, we can't see that either. But man, we know what happened. And you know, and why would we shy away from that? Well, it's just because we've set things in a position ahead of God. And we just have to make a choice. Do we are content not being as familiar with God as we used to? I was witnessing to this lady last night, Janessa is her name, at the YMCA last night, and talking to her about Christ, and you know, and the Lord just really opened that door up, you know, but you have to look for the door. As I've heard different new testimonies, Mark was telling me about somehow how God opened up the door for him, you know, and just others, and Yodi testified, you know, and Larry on the bus over there, and Dave when he prayed, people at work, they're there, we just got to look for them, you know. But you know, and just the magnitude of the reality of Christ, you know. And preaching to Christ that I can't see, but I know He lives. Giving everything up for Christ that I can't see, but I know it's worth it. You know, but you know, when we set something above those idols, we set idols above God, shouldn't we be surprised at the result? You know, if I want to walk to the back of the room and shake Landon's hand, and I just, but as I'm going, every time I get a step closer, I put another chair in front of me. You know, and should I be upset that I can't get to it? Is it Landon's fault that I can't get to it? But you know what we do? This is what we do. This is thank you, Lord. Okay, I want to go shake Landon's hand. I want to go, and I really like to go around, but so it's not a perfect illustration. And I'm sitting all these chairs up, and I want Landon to move the chairs, and I want Landon to get all these things out of my way so I can get to where he's at. I put them there. If I have the power to put them there, since we got the verse here, my little children, keep yourself from idols. That means, since I'm saved through Christ, I have the power to dispel, get rid of the idols. That's what dispel means. And so, you know, and you think about it. What is Landon going to think if I'm putting these chairs up and I'm saying, Landon, I want to get close to you. Landon, I want to shake your hand. Landon, I want to get near you. He's going to think, why do you keep putting something between us? Why are you even saying that? when you're the one that's put in the things between you and me. And you know, I just... God is real, everybody. I mean, and He's a living God. And man, the things that He promises, man, they're for real. And you know, and like I said, I just can't help it. There's either this book is totally not true, or there's something wrong with me. And there's something wrong with Christianity as a whole. But I'm determined by the grace of God that the idols have to go. You know, and God, like I said, I really, God showed me several things I had to repent over this morning. Just to be able to preach this, because I realize there's things that, and you know what? A lot of times it's things that you put about good intentions. It's good to love your wife. It's good to love your children. It's good to work. It's good to do all those things. But they don't take the place of God. It's good to labor. It's good to sacrifice. It's good to be a blessing to other people, but we can't put anything above God. It's good to have a good Christian testimony, but the way we have a good Christian testimony is staying close to God. And God naturally leads us and shows us what to do. You know, I probably had a revelation. I'm a little bit slow this morning, you know, because God said that He hated not His father and mother and His wife and His children. He said, He cannot be my disciple. Because we don't believe that God really wants us to literally hate them, but it just... It was new to me. I may have said it before and didn't realize it, but God just wants the love for Him to be so strong that you really can't compare the two. Because can love and hatred really be anywhere near each other? I mean, they really can't be. And so if I love for God, so I'm not going to be confused about, I'm not going to put a person first, I'm not going to put my wife first. By the way, I can never love my wife properly if God's not first anyway. Because my life won't be in position to be the blessing that I need to be to her. I can't love my children properly if I don't love God with all my heart. I can't love you as a pastor properly if I don't love God with all my heart, my soul, my mind, and my strength, because I'm clouded by, because you know what? If I love you more than I love God, generally when we say that, it's kind of a self-centered term, because if I love you, I want to please you, right? Because that's the way we... And I can figure out what pleases you, but it might not necessarily be what you need. Because the cross is not pleasing, right? But we need the cross in our lives. But God wants to empower all of us today by a simple word called repentance. You know, and I remember one of the greatest things I've finally learned in the Christian life is, see, right now, if I was a control type person, this would be a good day, good opportunity to pull out this list of all the things that you should do or not do. To show where you have idols or not idols. And if I was really typical church planner trying to really build this thing up so we get it moving, I would say, if you're not doing this, I would pick out things that would really be advantageous to church growth. And I say those things right now, but you know what? I believe in God. And I believe the Holy Spirit of God probably is already telling some of you what your idols are. And I believe in the best thing of all, see, if I made a list, you could reject that list. But if you're saved and the Holy Spirit has said, you know that one right there, you may still reject it, but it's undeniable who told you what your idol is. And that's the love of God, that He would speak to you. And you know, and don't be afraid to labor for something that you can't see. We labor for achievements in life, or like I said, for victory that we cannot see. But our hope is we just have to repent. We can't stack these things up and then want God to remove them. He already said in Romans, He said, for sin shall not have dominion over you. So sin doesn't control you anymore. So let God have the victory. Last thing, God's judgment regarding idols. verse 7, for everyone in the house of Israel or of the stranger that sojourneth in Israel, which separated himself from me, and set up his idols in his heart, and put it the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face,
and come to your prophet to inquire of him concerning me, I, the Lord, will answer him by myself." God says, "I'm not going to let the prophet speak to you about this." He said, "I'm going to answer this." You've got these idols set up, and you're going to the prophet. He said, "I'm going to talk to you about this." And you know what? And you know, he says, and reading further, he says, "And I will set my face against that man, and I will make it, and I will make him a sign and a proverb, and I'll cut him off from the midst of my people, and you shall know that I am the Lord." When I read this verse, what came to mind was the Bible said, "Except you repent, you shall all likewise perish." Now, as a whole, there will always be a remnant. God promised that. As a whole, Christianity is dying. I mean, real Christian living. And that's because of lack of repentance. And God has set his face, just like a parent would set his face against a child trying to run in the middle of the street. Not trying to make them sad, not trying to make them discouraged, but trying to rescue their life. God is trying to stop them. God sets his face against you and against me when I have these idols and I'm coming to him as if I really want to know something from him when I've actually already decided, since I'm estranged from him, I've kept him at a distance and I'm only going to let him get so close anyway. So how can I approach him as Lord or as Father when I've set him exactly where I want to set him as if he was some idol? See, that's what happens. We think God's like, see, idols you can control, you know. But God you can't control. And that's why we have idols. We have idols that cater to what we want to do. You know, and so, and then we have these ineffective, what we think is an ineffective relation with God, and we think there's something wrong with God, then again, we're the ones set the chairs up. We're the ones put the things up. And then God stands against us, and we feel like our Christian liberty has been messed up because God's not helping me. Well, because you're not near him. Because you already set him at a distance. You're not familiar with him. And God says, you know what? I've got to do this. I've got to do this. Because, man, I want them to be my people. And I want to be their God. You know, I was saying an imperfect example. The children and my wife have a dog. You know, and I always say that it's their dog, it's not my dog. Now, I like the dog. But I've never wanted to be the dog's master. And I still don't want to be the dog's master. I like her. But I don't want to be the master. Because I do not want to be the one that's totally responsible for her care. I do not want to be the one that's responsible for feeding her, looking after her. I just do not want that responsibility. But they did. I think. But what I'm saying is, that's what God wants to be for you. When I explained to them what it would take, and the cleanup and all the different things, and they had to buy things, and they had to sacrifice their own money to pay for everything. You know what they said? They said they were willing. This is getting better. This is getting better. They said they were willing to pay the price. Amen. You know what my Savior did? He saw Reiner Harper and he saw you, and he said, "You know what? Oh, Satan, you know he's the accuser. You know, but you know, half the time Reiner Harper's probably not even going to act like you're his God." Probably going to struggle a lot of his life preaching to Christ he's not really living like. Before he even comes to you, he's going to take your name in vain. Before he comes to you, he's going to make fun of other Christians and mock them. Oh, my Savior says, "I'm willing to pay the price." He said, "I'm willing to pay the price." Amen. And thank God he did. Amen. And he still, when I go astray, and when you go astray, know what he said? He said, "I'm still glad I paid the price." You know, right now, I'm sure if Daisy ran away, they would go looking for her. God's looking for us today. because he said, I want them to be my people. He said, and I want to be their God. He said, I want to be the one that takes care of everything. See, you know why that's so foreign to us? Because as a whole, we're irresponsible people. That's why, you know why it's so hard to lose your life? Because that means you're responsible for others. And we don't want to lose our life because if I keep my life, then I just take care of me. I don't have to worry about anybody else. But when I lose my life, the only thing left is other people and God. And it goes against our nature. And it's so hard for us to comprehend that God really wants to be your God. And that's why everybody can't be a pastor. That's what's a calling. Because you read the Bible, it says no man will naturally care for their state. I mean, sometimes when I want to be selfish, I don't want to be selfish. Sometimes the Lord says, do this just for yourself, but I don't want to do this just for myself. Sometimes when me says quit, I don't want to quit. But when I want to just do whatever, there's a person who says, no, I don't want to. Because my very being, my very makeup, my very calling is to be dead and to love everybody. And I thank God for that. Because that's how He loved me. And when I allow idols to come into my life, it separates me from God. And I find myself, and you know, I just think about that. I can remember, I was telling my boys this all day. I remember showing up to court one time, and when I was a lost heathen, and guys not knowing who you are, you know, they treat you like dirt. They keep you at a distance, you know. Because they got their favorites they want to pick for their teams, you know. Somehow shallow it is that all of a sudden you make a few baskets and all of a sudden at one point you were kept at a distance and a nobody, and just because you made a few baskets, all of a sudden you're the hero to act like they know you all their life, you know. I remember being in Sutton, North Carolina. I went down and played at the gym, and everybody was like, who's this strange guy? And I scored a few baskets, made the game winning basket. Everybody's like, oh man, hey man, you're the man, all this kind of stuff. It's like, hey, you just treated me like whatever just a few minutes ago. And just because I can throw a ball in a ring, all of a sudden, you act like I'm a hero, you know? This is so shallow, you know? Every now and then, you ought to listen to some sports commentary. And let me tell you why. I mean, they talk so hateful about these guys. I was listening to them all day, and I thought, you know what? This is just terrible. This is somebody's son, somebody's husband, somebody's father. And they're talking about them like they're a useless nothing, just because they can't score a goal. And it was actually, I was listening to hockey, because they're not quite the athlete they think they ought to be. This is such a shallow, terrible existence. But see, God values us so much. And man, He's just given us, He just laid His life down for us. And He says, you know what? He says, I want to be your God. He said, I don't want you to have to do it. I was praying for my mother-in-law the other day, and I sent her a text, and I said, I told her, he said, you don't have the power or the resources to take care of your situation. You need God. And she's going through a difficult time right now, but you know what? That's true for every single person in this room. You don't have the power or the resources to take care of your own life. And many people are stressed out, walking and living on practically burnout, because they're trying to do in their life what God has placed us there to do. Hey, one of my idols is my own ability. My own strength. I like to use my own strength. You know what? That hinders me sometimes from God being at work in my life. And you know what God? God sees me, looks at my strength. He laughs. He laughs. And you know, when He sees my head inflating, like I think I can take care of somebody else, He laughs. But thank God, He still wants to be my God. God said, "Never leave us nor forsake us." Thank God for that. May I encourage you today, if by chance
you have some idols in your life, I encourage you to repent. That's the only solution that there is. Those things that you set up that have more priority in your life than God, I encourage you to repent. In fact, I encourage you, but God commands you to repent. Why? Because He wants to be your God. And He wants you to be His people. You know how so many people struggle with acceptance issues? Because there's only one acceptance that will really make your life complete. That's the acceptance of God. We can fight that. We cannot believe that. I tell you, if you're saved, the most content time you ever had in your life was the day you got saved. And that's because you gave your life to Christ. And the only thing to interfere with that since that salvation day was idols. Yeah, we can say, well, this person did this. Well, that meant we valued a person, what a person's opinion, what they said more than what God says. I say, well, but you know, we have this need here. That means so we need this thing more than we need God. You know, you look, read the Bible. People and things cause people to destroy their lives. But God, a focus upon God will never cause you to destroy your life. Because, in fact, God says, fear not him who is able to kill the body. And when people were faithful serving God, they did not die until God was ready for them to die. They didn't leave this world until God was ready to leave this world. If they needed supernatural strength, they received supernatural strength. If they need supernatural resources, they receive supernatural resources. If they just need patience to endure, they receive patience to endure. They received absolutely anything that they needed to fulfill God's plan for their life. But you have absolutely no guarantees, and I have absolutely no guarantees myself, if I'm willing to fulfill my plan for my life. But thank God. You know, it's a miracle to me. The Bible said, whom much is given, much is required. You know, and that's why a lot of people run from God, because they don't want much, because they don't want to be required to give much. And I think sometimes, you know why pastors enjoy Sundays and any service day more than a lot of people do? Because we're focused on doing something for somebody. But it's harder for you. I mean, you're all coming to listen, but if you're focused to come do something for somebody, it'll strengthen your life. And I don't hope that don't sound bad the way it means, but any day you're focused to do something for somebody, you have a better day as well. And maybe you come with that mindset. If you do, then you have a better day than most people when they come. You come to be blessed. You come to see who can encourage. In fact, you've tried to encourage the people to be here with you. So you're encouraged by that. You're focused on in trying to do something for somebody else and help them or strengthen them, you know? And that's why God has called all of us to be in ministry. Because then we don't think about ourselves. But anyway, I'm at the point now where I could be redundant for another half hour. But I'm going to stop. I sense the Lord's timing. But I just know that God wants to be close to you. And God wants to be close to me. And I praise God for speaking to me regarding idols in my life. And, you know, and I trust you've heard from God regarding yours. If you're not saved, you're dealing with one idol. It's just yourself. It's just your way. Because you want your way. And you need to repent. And Christian, you can sum it up the same way and say it's your way, but God's speaking to you regarding individual things. But may I encourage you to do something if you do repent? Turn and set your eyes on God and pursue God with everything. And what you'll find out, some of those things that you think are idols, they'll start falling by the wayside. But some of them you'll have to break down. Some of them you have to tear up, you know. Some idols you just have to cut off the ties with.